Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to The Art of Charm. I'm Jordan Harbinger. The Art of Charm brings together the best coaches in the industry to teach you guys how to crush it in life, love, and at work. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors teaching you their expertise, packing decades of research, testing, and tough lessons into a concise curriculum. We've created one of the premier men's lifestyle programs available anywhere, and it's free. This is the show we wish we had a decade ago. This show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best man you can be in every area of your life. Make sure to stay up to date with everything going on here and get some killer free ebooks as well as drills and exercises that'll help you become more charismatic and confident by signing up for the newsletter at theartofcharm.com. If you're new to the show but you want to know more about what we teach here at The Art of Charm, listen to the toolbox at theartofcharmpodcast.com/toolbox. That's where you'll get the fundamentals of dating and attraction, such as body language, eye contact, vocal tonality, all that stuff that's more important than you might think. We've got boot camps running every single month here in California. Details at theartofcharm.com, and I'm looking forward to meeting all of you guys here at The Art of Charm. Enjoy. Welcome back to Pickup Podcast, the show that's more than just about getting the girl, but putting a little bit of hot sauce on your personal growth chili, or in your personal growth chili. I'm Jordan Harbinger, live from the Art of Charm headquarters on Hollywood Boulevard, where all the magic happens at Art of Charm boot camps and training courses. This is, again, the end of a week-long program. Guys are out tearing it up with our coaches, and I got one of the coaches right here, Justin, kind of new to the gang.
Yo, guys.
And what's good about, you know, having you on the show is that you're one of the frontline dudes here at AOC. And what I mean by that is, you know, when guys contact us first, they usually speak with you or me,
right,
or Alara, and then they speak with us again. We help get them registered, and then they come in and they end up staying with us half the time, depending on their locations and stuff like that. So I think it's important to sort of get you out, get your name out there, you know, so that people aren't like, who the heck is this schlub that Jordan stuck me with on the phone, right?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
So what we wanted to talk about today was actually pretty compelling. We started this as just a conversation. I think we were just venting to each other, actually.
Yeah.
And it was really frustrating for us because we realized, like, hey, you know, there's a lot of excuses coming out of people's mouths for not coming to AOC. And a lot of the time, you know, the more I've realized it is that people actually kind of believe their own BS sometimes when it comes to this, right? Like, people think that their excuse is real, their excuse is valid, or they don't even see it as an excuse. They're like, no, I really can't do it because X, Y, and Z. And the psychology of excuses and sort of rationalization got really interesting. And we know that it's easier to figure out a reason why you can't do something than it is to actually change.
Yes. Yeah.
And having an excuse, having some sort of BS in your way, why you can't do this, why you can't do that, is easier than change because it props up your reality, your version of reality. Like, oh, I'm not that kind of person. I'm not the guy who does X, Y, and Z. I'm not the guy who can just do that type of thing and or learn that type of thing. So we came up with sort of a top list of the garbage that we've heard over the last, you know, few years.
Yep.
About why people don't come in for their program until they've sat on it for such a long time. And one of the most common things that happens is
that people get in and go, man, you know, I wish that I'd done this earlier. And it makes me want to kind of like triple flying sow cow ninja kick him in the jawbone with my foot bone, because I'm like, I told you that 3 years ago when we first talked. And no better to discuss this subject than you.
Yes.
Because how long did you fart around before you came for your program?
I farted around for about 2 years. I discovered the podcast in 2010. And I think we talked for – shortly after that, we talked because I really liked it. And, yeah, I farted around for about 2 years. And I swear there was times where you'd probably wanted to, like, reach around – reach through the phone line and fucking strangle me.
Bam.
So, yeah, right, it's been about 2 years. And what we have here, I think I threw every excuse, you know, to you at the book. So
yeah, definitely. So we actually did make a document.
Yeah, we came up with a list of about 9 things that we commonly hear and that I commonly used before coming to my program.
Right, the stuff that you actually believed at the time, and now it's like, okay, maybe this is just other BS. Now you hear it from other people, you're like, dude, really?
Yeah.
I invented that.
Right, right.
Like, you're like, I am that guy. I was that guy.
That's
my move. That's why you're such a good front lines guy, because people are like, well, no, you don't understand. You're like, no. I do.
Oh, I do.
Because I invented that years ago. Like, yeah. I went through that whole thing already. So let's just take it from the top. I mean, some of the classic crap that we hear, and, you know, some of these you'll have. If you're listening to this, some of these you'll be like, oh, that's not me. But be honest with yourself. Are you telling yourself these excuses? Because if you are, you're not doing yourself any favors.
Right.
And you're actually hindering your own growth. And we all have what we call invisible scripts, right?
Absolutely.
And these are every one of these excuses has a subscript, which means like a subtext. What you say is different from what you actually mean, whether you realize it or not. And then also there's a layer of invisible scripting where people don't necessarily even realize that they're telling themselves things that are inaccurate.
Yep.
We do this all the time in our lives with food and working out and money, especially anything that's really important in relationships. Life is your social life is one of those things.
I think, yeah, and it comes back to change, right? It's a lot harder to actually change and create those goals, those goals that are slightly out of reach, because it oftentimes it's a little uncomfortable. So, oftentimes you fall into like the two categories where people either believe their own BS or they've been telling others their own BS for so long that they just want to convince people because it props up their reality.
Right. Now it's consistency.
Yeah.
Like you're thinking to yourself, if you ever, and think about this, I know I've done this before where you're like, you're telling somebody something that is just patently untrue,
right,
but you're doing it because you've done it before. And you're like, I just have to keep kind of repeating this because I've convinced myself of it, even though at some level I know it's baloney.
Right.
Right.
Right. Like, and it's easier to hop on that train and just keep it going than to stop, do a reality check, and then be like, okay.
Right. It's momentum. You've got like momentum going in the wrong direction. And there's a lot of cognitive dissonance there too. It's like the guy who doesn't get into medical school and goes, chuh, whatever, I didn't want to go to school for like 10 years and then like go through a residency and get treated like shit and then, you know, like do this thing, man, I didn't want to do that anyway. I'm so much better off. I'm lucky I didn't get in. But really, you're kind of like, no, I really wish I gotten in, but I didn't. So now I'm doing something else, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Rather than being okay with it, it's just you rationalize it in a different way. And that's fine. Sometimes things like that are helpful. Like, oh, you didn't get into the school of your choice. Good. Rationalize a different reason, because otherwise there's your other choices, you just feel bad about it. But when there's action that can be taken and a difference that can be made, like this situation – that's why we're doing the show, is because it's like, think about this. If something that we say strikes close to home, then take a good look at yourself and think about, are you just saying this because you're afraid to take action? Another thing is, talking about action is not taking action. And this is one of the top
– this is a top one.
The top problems is a lot of people talk about coming to AOC. Yeah, man, someday I'm going to do that. But someday never comes. When I have more money. Well, no, you get more money and then you buy other crap. Like you bought a flat screen last week. Don't tell me you're going to do it when you get more money. You're wasting your money.
Exactly.
Why would you get more money? So, and like when you break people down, when they tell you that crap on the phone and you break it down, you kind of say, when might that be? Well, what's your plan for that? You kind of get to this point where they, and I call people out on this, You basically get to a point where they go, well, if money – and they don't say this literally, of course, but if money falls from the sky and there's so much of it that I can't think of anywhere to spend it, I'll come and take this program if I feel like it.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, this is good to have those reality checks because let's face it, when's the last time somebody really held us accountable for like not taking action or not going after the things that we said we want to do? So, you know, it's good to sit back, you know, look yourself in the mirror and be like, am I really doing what I said I would set out to do? Yeah. Or am I just hiding behind one of these subscripts that we're going to talk about in a little bit?
Right. Because most people don't have friends and family that will call them out on their crap.
Yeah.
Because people don't want to make waves, especially if you're the type of guy that gets all butthurt about stuff like that. Then, yeah, you don't have friends and family that want to go – that go, hey, man, you know, you need to do this. One of the common things that AOC alumni ask me is how do I tell my friends about this? So we have a unit during the boot camp about how to tell your friends what you've done here.
Yeah.
And a lot of it circulates around just like very tactful ways to bring people into the fold because if you go – you know, if you come back and you're light years ahead of all your friends socially that you used to hang out with all the time or that you still hang out with all the time, a lot of times those people are pissed. And we brought this up on the show about how people can get annoyed. But if you go, dude, you know, you need to work on your body language and here, I'll coach you and da-da-da, people just usually end up going, you're a douche. I don't want to hang out
right.
with you
anymore.
They don't
want to be told what to
– Right. Even though they might know damn well they need it,
right.
they really don't necessarily want to hear it from you.
Right.
That's one of the reasons why the show is popular because people can go, oh, my God, I found this podcast and it's pretty funny and it's kind of informative. Maybe you could check it out. I'm going to be listening to it in the car when we drive to this place and maybe you'll enjoy it. You know, and then people will start listening secretly. A lot of guys that came through AOC are like, my friend told me about it. I started listening to it. Didn't tell him I started listening to it because I felt weird about it. And then like a year goes by and then it's like, so remember that podcast you told me about? And then guys will be like, yeah, I still listen to that every week. You do?
Right.
So do I. And you'll find people that have known each other for like a year and never said that they both listened to the show because there's like that sort of little stigma in their own mind attached to it.
Right. And yeah. And to follow with that, you know, what we do tell our guys after boot camp is to lead by example because that's the best way to demonstrate this stuff and not to go home and just tell all their friends what they're doing wrong.
Right. Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Which kind of comes back to taking action.
It does. Yeah. I know we digressed a little bit, but talking about action is not taking action. A lot of guys are like, well, you know, someday I'm going to do this. Or they're like, yeah, you know, I listen to your show all the time and that's awesome. And thank
that's
you
great.
For listening.
Yes.
But are you doing anything? Well, you know, I'm really busy or blah, 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 or one of the other excuses that we'll get to in a second. But talking about action is not taking action. Talking about action, you're like the guy who goes on a one-day diet or goes to the gym once and is like, well, I went to the gym on Sunday, man. So, like, you know, I'm good, you know.
I'm good for the week.
You know, come Monday, you're like, oh, man, it's Monday. I'm really busy and I'm tired. Tuesday comes around, you're like, you know, I need to go to the gym again. Okay, cool. Probably, like, tomorrow.
Right.
Wednesday comes around, man, I didn't get a chance to go. And then it's like, you know, once a week or once every other week, you're in the gym. And it's just like, well, oh, crap, that didn't work, did it? Or you're like, you're no better than New Year's resolution guy who goes to the gym and hits the treadmill and is like, yeah, or if that. Or like, man, you know, this year I'm going to lose tons of weight.
Yeah, it's a loose, lofty goal.
Right.
It's also a vicious cycle, right? Because once you set out to do something and you don't make that a habit, you'll fall off the bandwagon real quick. And then you're just like, oh well, and you throw up your head. That's one of the reasons why New Year's resolutions don't work.
Right.
And it's one of the reasons why going to the gym once a week doesn't work.
Doesn't work, yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people tell me – I'm on Facebook all the time, as people who are friends with me on Facebook know. And I wish all my friends happy birthday when it comes around, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things that I find kind of sad – is there's a lot of, you know, self-help type people have friended me on Facebook, and there's a lot of, like, marketer type people that have friended me on Facebook. And so when I hit them up for their birthday, a lot of guys, I'm like, what's your goals? And some of these guys were into, like, multi-level marketing or some other, like, weird Ponzi schemey type of stuff and spare me the emails about how it's not because it is. you know, they'll send me something like, I want to get my my income level up to 30 grand and all this stuff. And at first I was like, dude, what do you do, man? I want to hear more about your business. Cause I'm thinking if this guy, his goal is to make over 30 grand a month, like he must be killing it right now. So I want to know what this guy does, and I want to get some of his habits. So once I start digging deeper, I started to find out that these same people who had goals of like $30,000 a month were currently making like less than a dollar a day or a couple dollars a day. And I'm thinking, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're not trying to go from like 10,000 to 30,000 or 20,000 to 30,000. You're right. Trying to go from like you have a day job and you do this on the side and you're lucky to make a couple hundred bucks a month to I want my business to explode 300,000% this year. And I'm like, what the heck are you talking about, dude?
Right.
Like, literally impossible unless you've got some sort of huge team or like major leverage or like a really good resource.
Groundbreaking
product. Like if you're just selling like telecom services or something like that, you expect to go from zero to that. There's nothing wrong with being in that kind of business. I'm not here to judge that. But which I already did earlier. But the thing is you're setting yourself up to fail, because then if you start earning $3,000 a month or like $2,000 a month from this side business, you totally blew your goal by like, you know, a crap ton.
Right. And you just feel bad about it.
Right. And you're setting yourself up to fail, because if you just go, I want to get this to the point where I'm ROI positive, you know, then it's like, great. And if you get there early, cool, set a higher goal and go for it. But a lot of people, they set these crazy goals. And it's kind of silly.
It is.
It sucks for them.
And it's a great, you know, it's cool that you're motivated, and it's cool that to have that motivation. But you have to realize that you're going to set yourself up for failure if you don't have incremental steps,
right?
To make those attainable.
But anyway, the show's not about setting goals. The point is that talking about doing something is not the same as doing something. And this frustrates us, because we get a lot of guys who are like, listen, man, you know, I need to talk to you. I want to talk to you about programs. And then you go, cool, when are you thinking about coming in, ballpark? And they're like, you know, maybe like 3 to 5 years. And I'm thinking, why are we on the phone right now? Thanks for the call, but we're not doing squat. You just want to feel better about yourself right now, so you're kind of wasting my time.
Well, and theirs.
And theirs, yeah.
I mean,
they're wasting their own time because they're going, I'm talking to the guys at AOC about a program. Meanwhile, it's
talking about taking action.
Yeah, talking about taking action. Nothing gets accomplished on that call other than you pat yourself on the back and go, yeah, I listened to another episode of the show today. It was awesome. And I'm not telling you to stop doing that stuff. Obviously, definitely don't stop listening to the show. But don't think that just because you're passively listening to the podcast on your commute to work that you're somehow absorbing all of this material in the most effective way possible. Sure, you're going to get some stuff. But if the programs weren't just light years ahead in the way that we teach these skills, then we would have our podcast do all the work.
Right.
And we would have an army of people running around doing this stuff. I would have my own jet that flies in space, because it would be a bajillionaire.
Right. And it's one of those things that if knowledge alone was the key, then we wouldn't have boot camps that change people, you know, changes lives.
Yeah, because we'd be able to teach it all through audio, which is impossible. So I kind of want to dive into some of the other excuses here, because I think guys get the idea. They're like, okay.
I get it.
Yeah. I know a lot of guys think about taking action, but a lot of people don't even know why they're not taking action. They're just like, yeah, maybe later. I'm doing stuff right now, .. Don't feel like mentally dealing with it.
Over the last 17 years, we have launched our fair share of online courses, coaching programs, and finding the right platform has always been a challenge.
They say if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. But if you're an entrepreneur, you know the hard work that comes with it. That's why you need Kajabi. Kajabi makes it easy to run your entire online business from one platform, so you can focus on what you love, creating.
Kajabi is the ultimate all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable, recurring revenue.
No matter your niche, Kajabi makes it easy to turn your skills, passions, and experiences into enriching online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, thriving communities, personalized coaching, and more.
The best part? Kajabi doesn't cut into your revenue, because everything is owned and controlled by you. So keep 100% of what you earn.
And with Kajabi, you also get robust analytics, easy payment options, email marketing tools, and customizable website templates, all built in.
You don't even need a huge audience to make sustainable income. There are thousands of creators on Kajabi making 6 and 7 figures with less than 50,000 followers.
Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business if you go to kajabi.com/charm. That's KAJABI.com/charm
Go to Kajabi.com/charm and join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion.
Hey, Art of Charm listeners, I'm excited to share a new podcast I've been absolutely binging. Winning is an everyday mindset, and Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. On Ways to Win podcast, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. You'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. And don't miss President Obama sharing how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get back to the show.
A lot of people think that this stuff won't work for them,
right.
Which is kind of a valid question. Like, maybe this won't work for me because I don't know anybody else that's gone through similar changes and I've been this way my whole life.
Right.
So I understand why people might go, huh, I don't know, it's a lot of money and it might not work. And it's easy for me to go, hey, well, we have a money-back guarantee, which we do. But people go, yeah, but I'm not going to like spend a week in LA and then be like, yo, I need my time back because I can't give you that back.
Yeah.
And it requires planning and investment. But that's why applying some of the stuff you learn on the show is so valuable, because
exactly.
You apply a few things and you go, dude, I've applied like two things that I learned from 10 episodes of your show and it changed my worldview and my interactions are totally different. We get email like this all the time. And guys
in the
chat
all the time. They're like, toolbox totally changed my game around.
The guys who apply like one or two things and see how this stuff works, those are the guys that like are beating down the door to get in because
right.
They see the results. So if you don't know if this stuff will work for you, try some of it on your own. Even if you get mediocre results because you don't know what the hell you're doing, then you'll still see results. And you know, okay, I applied this one idea kind of, sort of, and I kind of, sort of got results. Imagine what happens when we're like, here's how you do it exactly right every single time, and here's how your results are going to be amazeballs like
right.
the other alumni. Now you start to see the positive reinforcement. But everybody thinks that their excuse is valid. Right. Everyone
right.
rationalizes, no, my situation is unique. Mine is different. My reason is you don't understand. And that's why you're sitting here, Justin, because you invented pretty much everything that's on this board right now.
Yes, I did.
Trying to get in here. And tell, why do people create these sort of beliefs in their head?
You know, we have a lot of reasons. I mean, there are a lot of things that people say that think is valid. And so it's all kind of unique. But I think when it comes down to it, it's honestly, I think it's at a deep level, it's kind of like a fear, right?
It is, exactly.
You know, at a very deep level. I know that I was kind of nervous. Actually, that's an understatement. I was really nervous coming in because in my situation, I had some social anxieties. And
yeah.
that's what I came here for. But yeah, at a deep level, it's fear because change is kind of scary. You have to go outside
right.
of your comfort zone. You know, if you want to accomplish anything in your life, you're going to have to do that.
Right.
And it's just, there's no way about that. Otherwise you're just living in this bubble and you know, your life starts becoming a routine. I think we talked about this on a walk. You know, we hear a lot of times that guys, you know, they work, they wake up, go to work, come home, maybe grab some happy hour seldomly. But most of the time they're exhausted and they just want to go watch
right.
some Netflix or something.
Autopilot.
And, you know, we ask them about their weekend and they're just like, yeah, it's kind of what I did. And then they start complaining that their lives are boring. So to wrap it sort of all up, deep down, it's fear. And
right.
it's because change
requires
work.
And that work is getting outside your comfort zone.
Yeah.
It makes people go, eh. No, I don't really want to do that because it's a black box. I don't know how I'm going to get there / I don't know if this will work for me. So I'm scared to make a move.
Right.
So I'm just not going to do anything.
And to bounce off that, this won't work for me is kind of like saying my situation is so unique and I'm going to wait for this program that's tailored to my exact situation and just wait for it to fall out of the sky.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is like – that's just never going to happen.
Right.
It's never going to happen.
And people don't realize, like, what one of the things that we specialize in here is we make it impossible for you to not succeed if you follow the program.
Right.
Because it's kind of like this. And since most people have never done any kind of growth program like this, the difference is imagine if you counted all your – you're trying to lose weight, right? You count all your calories. You eat good quality food. You have a nutritionist monitoring what you eat. You go to the gym every day, work with a trainer every day. It's literally at that point, barring any kind of weird, like, freakish health issues that are diagnosed by a real doctor, not just in your head, it's impossible to not lose weight at that point. It's impossible because you have a caloric deficit, you're eating high-quality food, and you're working out, burning calories, and building muscle.
Right.
It's impossible to not lose fat
doing
that. We have that set up here at AOC, and I'd love to be able to explain how, but it's impossible with audio other than saying you're going through, you have coaches by your side, you have drills and exercises, we're making sure that you get it and you can apply it in real life, and we're setting goals for you every day here on the program. So guys who don't think that this is going to work for them, obviously what we want to communicate here is it can't not work for you.
Exactly. Exactly. And a lot of guys in this category, we like, can one week really make the difference? And what they don't understand is that it's a process.
Right.
So starting this process is by coming to the boot camp, and there's pre-programmed material, and then there's things that we have through our alumni network that help support guys as they grow, you know, but you have to get to the door and open it and walk through it before you can get to that point.
Right. Yeah. Like, we're not going to change you overnight in the week. You're going to,
and we're not promising that
you're going to shift into high gear like crazy during that week, but you're also going to have done prep beforehand. And then there's prep afterwards, and it's or post follow up afterwards. It's very detailed and exact. And that's the same thing that you need for any kind of change. Like, I'm learning Chinese right now. I don't just go to class on Wednesday, phone it in, and then go home and forget about Chinese. Like, I'm always looking at stuff, always studying vocabulary, listening to stuff in the car, you know, trying to talk to people in Chinese wherever I can. Like, that stuff is important. You can't just come to the boot camp, pop back out, not talk to anybody for 90 days because you're back in your cubicle and be like, huh, that didn't stick.
Right.
I mean, that – and we don't let you do that.
No.
You know, we don't let you do that.
It doesn't happen.
But I just want people to know if you're thinking, I don't think this will work for me because I'm ... that's a fear-based position, and it's an excuse, and it's something that is not any more valid than anybody else's excuse. We've heard it all, and you had all of those excuses.
Yeah, I definitely threw that one at you, probably more than a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And now, what are some of the other more popular ones? I mean, one of the favorites is, of course, time.
Time, yeah. Everybody values their time.
Of course.
And I won't argue. Time is important. It's really important, but I think that there's some out there that have an artificial sense of how important their time really is.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it comes down to the fear-based thing, but a lot of times what we hear is, I don't have time for this. I can't take off work. I've heard I don't get vacation, which I don't, you know, let's face it.
Right.
Everybody gets vacation.
Yeah. It's a matter of prioritizing it.
Exactly.
You know, and there's plenty of guys that are like, I can't leave work. I can't leave work. I can't leave work. We even offer the option to split the program into two pieces for those guys.
Like, and guys do it.
Yeah. And guys do it. It's kind of funny because some people are generally very, very pressed for time, but I'm always laughing when some dude who works at, like, and no offense, like a government office is like, dude, I don't have time for this. I work too much. And then there's a guy who, like, is a C-level executive at a Fortune 500 company. And is like, I'll make it happen.
Right.
And yeah, he's on his BlackBerry during every break, and he's got his laptop out every morning, and he stays up late when he comes back every night doing stuff. But he prioritized it and made it happen. So when a college student goes, oh man, I don't have time, I'm just like, sorry, bro, but I've got to call bullshit right now on that.
Yeah, and it was in my second boot camp. We had a guy in from Australia. He was an eye surgeon. He owned his own clinic, and every morning he was on the computer. And evening, actually, checking emails and doing that stuff. So, you know, coming here isn't going to take you away from a lot of your priorities. And in fact, some guys take it as a fun vacation.
Yeah. And another thing is, you got to think about what you're spending your time doing.
Right.
If you're spending your free time hanging out with your friends, going out and complaining about how your social life sucks, or not going out with your friends and complaining about how much your social life sucks, then can you afford to not spend the time investing in this?
Exactly.
That's really what it comes down to. You know, like, it's like the guys who go, man, I don't have time to go to the gym. No, you do. You just don't want to, because getting up early sucks.
great example of this is our reading accountability buddy system.
That's right.
Because we both were complaining, like, I don't have time to read. And then we were like, wait a minute, we're not making time to read.
Yeah.
And so we started this thing where we hold ourselves accountable. And,
yeah.
And
I had to call bullshit on myself because I'm like, I have a crap load of free time.
Right.
You know, working for the Art of Charm is very busy.
Yeah.
But let's be honest. I'm not exactly running around town all day in a car in a place where I can't read. I'm surrounded by books, most of them sent by authors who are like, please read my book so I can come on your show or whatever. Yeah. And there's constantly – they're coming in, and so I'm overwhelmed by it. So I go, wah, I don't have time to read, but it's such a load of crap.
It is.
Because when I quote-unquote don't have time to read, meanwhile, I'm spending like an hour plus a day on like friggin' Facebook and reading news
YouTube,
articles.
YouTube, whatever.
Yeah, YouTube. I just watched like 20 minutes of YouTube earlier. It was fun, and it was funny, and it helped my hangover a little bit.
Yeah.
But I really should have picked up the book that's literally right next to my laptop
and
picked it up and read. So it can't – I don't want to even hear from myself, oh, bro, I don't have time to read, because I know that's such a load of shit.
Exactly.
You know, it's like this. It's the same thing. Don't have time to work out. Don't have time to eat right. Don't have time for this. You have time for this. It's just that you're scared to pick it up, because I know that when I start reading that book, it's going to go slow, and I'm going to have to think and put cognitive effort into it and take notes in the margin so I can apply the material. And that's like studying, right? And I'm going, ugh, I don't want to do that.
Right.
It's fun when I do
effort.
It, but it requires effort, and that's where I'm chickening out. And I know that. So you got to take a good hard look at yourself if you're the guy who doesn't have time for this. You're listening to this on your commute. Awesome. But really, you got time.
Yeah.
You got time.
Yeah. You can make time. It, you know, time is something that you have control over for the most part, and you can make time for it. It's just a matter of prioritizing it and making it important.
Insert sample of Ain't Nobody Got Time for That. So also, there's Do It Later Guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's Do It Later Guy. There's, again, it's – I like to start off with it is a fear-based thing because they're just like – it's pushing something off until – the nebulous region of I'll just do it later. And what that is it's kind of like setting a lofty goal. It's not something you're ever really fully intended on doing. It just feels better to say, oh, I will eventually do this later because I've got more important stuff to do, like watch YouTube or something.
Right. Well, it's this,
or play
it's,
some video
that's,
games.
Yeah, that's the guy who goes, I'll start going to the gym just as soon as I .. whatever.
Yeah.
And
if it's
the guy,
Monday, they're like, I'll go Wednesday.
Right. Like, or next week, I'm not eating another – like, it's the same with quitting smoking or something like that. Like, all right, this is my last cigarette. Well, I don't know. I have half a pack left. Okay, so after this pack, I'm done. Not going to smoke after this pack, and then that pack is empty, and then it's like, well, man, I got a lot of stress at work this week, so I'm going to – I can't be quitting right now. I got to do this, and then they buy another pack. But it's all rationalized, right?
I can totally relate because I quit smoking about about 4 or 5 years now. And I went through the same thing. In fact, it took me months to quit because I was rationalizing it every time. I stopped buying cigarettes, right?
Right.
But I'd still be the guy at a bar where all my buddies are smoking. And I'd be like, hey, man, can I bum one? Because I was rationalizing like, oh, I feel better because I stopped buying them, but I'm still engaged in the bad habit. And I was like, oh, I'll just do it later.
Yeah, there's so much of that. And last night I went outside. We were out at the bar on Valentine's Day because that's what's up. And I went outside. I can't remember why exactly. I was looking for someone or something. I had to make a phone call. I don't know. We were pretty three sheets to the wind by that point. But there are all these people smoking out there.
Yep.
And it was funny because I was like, hey, man, do you have – and I can't remember what I asked him for, like change for a five or something like that. And again, I can't remember exactly what the hell – happened last night entirely, but he was like, yeah, hold on. And then he's like, oh, I've got a cigarette. Oh, I don't know what to do. Like, he couldn't get in his pocket because he was holding the cigarette. And he goes, I don't even smoke. I'm just like a social smoke. And I'm like, you're a perfect stranger and you're telling me, oh, I don't even smoke, da 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 da. And I'm like, why would you care what I think?
Yeah.
I'm not judging you. And then I realized this guy doesn't care what I think. He's not worried about me judging him. He's telling me to convince himself.
Right.
Again,
he feels
up
guilty.
His reality.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah. And I'm thinking, I don't give a crap whether or not you're a smoker or not. I don't know you. You can get hit by a garbage truck and fight. I mean, that's awful. But I would never my world would not change one split anything. Nothing. And you know, it's just like it's that propping up of your own reality. You know, yeah. I'll do it later. Oh yeah, you know, I'll do it later. It's the just shelving it, just tabling it,
pushing it off,
kick the can further down the road. Yep. And you know, if you're that guy who's like, someday I'll do that, you're just kicking the can further down the road. You're not getting any younger.
Right.
You know, if you're a 20-something, 30-something-year-old guy and you're thinking, someday I want to do that, what are you waiting for?
Exactly. What happens is a few years later, it really sinks in that they aren't getting any younger, and it's not a good position to be in. I was like that. I'm 28, and, you know, I listened to the program for a while, and sometimes I kick myself because I'm like, how far ahead would I be now, you know, if I took it earlier versus where I'm at now?
Yeah,
the do it later, propping up my own reality, that sort of thing. It just, you know, for the young guys out there, it's as someone that's older, I would have rather handled this shit back when I was like 21 or 22.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hands down.
And it's not even just – and we're using the programs as an example here because that's what we see
we
from
do.
The program.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, but the same thing goes for going to the gym,
starting to eat
right, taking a class, or learning a skill that you want to learn.
Yeah. Martial arts or something. Yeah,
getting a job that you want.
Right.
Anytime you want to put yourself out there and engage in a little bit of risk, there's always the temptation to do it later, kick the can down the road, quit tomorrow, you know.
Go to college, you know, for the guys that had that gap after high school. Yeah. Oh, I'll just go to college later. And
so much harder to go back.
What's that?
I said it's so much harder to go back.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's way harder to go back.
Like, now that I'm done with school, and I took a freaking ton of it. For those of you guys who know, I went through law school and everything. Right. I could never go back now. And I feel bad saying this because I don't want to like psych anyone out of going to school, but homework sucks ass. And I'm 33. I haven't had homework for years, and it sucks. Having a job is so much better than college.
Right.
So much better than college.
Right.
I can't even tell you.
I did the college thing, and for me, I just personally would rather work, and make money, but everybody, you know, each their own. It goes back to that though, is you got to start somewhere, and just pushing off the job, getting more social,
eat
learning a new school.
Yeah. You got to do it. You got to figure out. So, and the best way to do this is to attack, again, little pieces at a time, right? Like the same with this won't work for me type of guy. Try some small things at once, right? Like you don't have to quit smoking, quit drinking, start going to the gym, and start eating healthy the same week.
And I wouldn't recommend that.
I would not
recommend
that.
That's a lot to take on at once.
Like step one, start going to the gym.
Yeah.
Because you're probably not going to want a freaking Camel Crush menthol cigarette after you just lifted weights.
Right.
Right. And then you're probably not going to want to go get a double Whopper with a Diet Coke and a bunch of fries after you go to the gym either.
Because you just worked all that.
Right. Because you just worked a bunch of it off. And if you look at the calorie counter, you're going to want to hang yourself. Right.
Right.
So, and also, I find for me, you know, when I go to the gym and I'm working out, the last thing I want to do is put crap into my body because I feel like I want something a little cleaner after a gym.
Exactly.
Sushi, whatever. And so, you know, it actually helps you. Building one habit starts to help build the other one. And you start to get confidence in yourself, right? You start to trust yourself, which is very important. Because a lot of times, if you set yourself up to fail, like quit drinking, quit smoking, quit da-da-da-da, start eating right all at once, you're probably not going to be able to do that. So
it's a lot to handle.
It's a lot to handle at once. So what happens is you fail, and then you go, you throw the baby out with the bathwater. Well, I had a cigarette, so now I'm going to eat a burger, and then I'm going to not go to the gym. I'm just going to fart around and get high or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's easy to throw the baby out with the bathwater instead of building habits.
It's so much more powerful when you can get a small victory under the belt, and you're just like, yeah, I just made it a habit to go to the gym. Or I just decided I'm going to quit drinking soda, which I did actually a while ago.
Yeah.
And just having that small victory really propels you to get more victories.
Right. It's just like it's the minimal amount of action required to get any results at all.
Yeah.
And Tim Ferriss talks a lot about this as well, especially in like 4-hour body. It's like, you could do all of this amazingly complicated stuff or just work out this much, this little tiny amount, and do it this way, and then you'll see results. And then you're going to want to do it all the time because you're like, holy crap, this is awesome, and I'm getting returns. All right, let's get back to the good stuff. I know there's a lot of other reasons why guys don't do something, and you know, excuses, money, time, all that stuff. But one of the ones that I found for the boot camp as well is that we were too far away. I had a guy be like, man, I live in Arizona, or man, you guys ever come up to San Jose? And I'm like, dude, it's so frustrating because I'm like, why would I come to your backyard? Where'd you go to college? Did they come to you?
Right. Does, like, the gym come to
you? Does the gym come to you?
Yeah.
Like, why the hell? What the hell? Why would I go to your house to teach you this?
Right.
It's just like an undercover. The subscript there is what?
The subscript there is you don't want to leave your comfort zone, right? That's the subscript. That's what they're telling you, or that's what your subconscious mind is really saying when you say it's too far. You could use that for the gym. It's too far to go to the gym. It's too far to go to college. It's too far to go hang out at this really awesome party that's, you know, an hour away. That would probably be totally awesome, but you're like, I don't want to risk it. I don't really want to, you know, go all the way out there.
It's kind of like a metaphor for leaving your comfort zone.
Yeah, exactly.
Though, right?
It's leaving that bubble, and that's what the subscript is when someone says, oh, it's too far.
Yeah, it's like it's almost like psychically too far, psychologically right.
Yeah,
too far.
Yeah, so maybe there's just some dissonance there.
Yeah, because when we get – and I know it's not actually the distance, right? Because like guys are like, oh, I live in San Jose or Arizona or San Diego, like 2 hours away. There's routinely guys here from like Denmark, Australia, which is literally as far away as you can go on the planet. The
right.
Guys routinely fly here from there, from Asia, Europe.
Yeah.
I mean, they fly
– last guy was from UK.
South Africa, like 21-hour flight to get here, including all that crappy layovers and stuff. And meanwhile, the guy who could drive here but would take all afternoon in the car can't
right.
make it out here. And it's just like – it's just a comfort zone thing, right? It just makes no sense. It's not the real excuse, right? We've had this happen before. Like, oh, if you guys come to Corpus Christi, it was some town near there, then we'll do that. And I was like, well, it's not really worth it. And he's like, no, I've got like 4 or 5 guys that want to do this. So we booked it down there. We had a venue. We had a couple people registered. Sorry, we're on the loudest block in Hollywood here.
Yeah.
Of course, they're, you know, in LA. So you get to enjoy a little side noise. But the guys were just like, ready to go. And we're like, great. We are literally now coming to your town. Well, guess what? All of those guys, except for one, was like, no, now I'm busy and now I can't afford it. And now I'm got a girlfriend. Now I'm da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
So it was just, once we got rid of that objection, there was
right.
just something else
it's,
there.
It's
instead.
Another one. Yeah.
So we now know that it's not location. Ever.
Right.
It's really, it's never location.
Yeah. Whenever there's a goal for, you know, if you want to travel or do anything, it's never, it's really never too far. It's really how far you make it in your mind. You know, that's where it starts. You're actually artificially creating that distance. It's not actually that far if you really wanted to go do it.
Far away, at least on my end, was
right.
it's artificially creating the distance. It's
right.
not, it's not actually like real in my opinion.
Right, like it's emotional. It's
yeah.
like being like the gym is too far away.
Yeah.
Like, really, dude?
Yeah.
Like, you can't get there? You really
right.
can't get there? Or you just don't want to deal with getting there?
Right.
Right.
Or getting that dream job. Oh, that's too far away because it's, like, somewhere off in this nebulous, you know, distance. And it's just an artificial creation.
I moved out of Michigan, and my cousin came here to California to hang out with me once. And she had just moved to Texas. And she said, if you hadn't moved, I would never have left Michigan. And it's not – I was like, why? Because we weren't close or anything in Michigan.
Okay.
And she was like, I just never thought of moving. I just never thought of leaving. And she's
wow.
like, now I would never go back.
Right.
And I'm like, you just never thought of like leaving your – it just never occurred to her to leave her comfort zone.
Yeah.
And she before – her argument before was I can't move. Why?
Right.
Well, I grew up here and, you know. And I'm like, that's not a reason
yeah.
that you can't do something, that you've always been doing it. Like, what?
Right.
That's like – it's like a fat person going, well, I can't lose weight because I've been fat since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like a helplessness. Like,
yeah,
oh,
it's totally
I'm just going to shrug my shoulders and,
yeah.
oh, well.
Or like, I can't earn money or get a good job because I grew up poor. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Some of the wealthiest people in America
yeah.
came here
started
with
nothing. Like nothing.
And it's ridiculous. You know, it's ridiculous. It's just like, well, I've always been doing it that way. So you have to realize that that's a choice that you make, not
right.
not actually – nothing is keeping you from doing that.
Exactly.
It's a choice that you make to stay
and
that
saying
way.
Saying that something is too far is a choice that you're telling yourself that. Nobody else is.
Right. It's the age of like, we can get on a flight. You can go to the airport right now,
yeah.
buy a ticket with a credit card to fly anywhere on the planet.
Yeah.
So, like getting there, if you said you couldn't get here and it was 1935, then okay. I understand
that.
You don't want to get on a boat?
Yeah.
Frickin', you know, spend 2 months.
You
want to
risk your life going across the Pacific Ocean or whatever?
But now you can get to Australia by the weekend.
Yeah.
And chill in Melbourne or Sydney or whatever.
Yeah.
Canberra, if you're really ambitious.
Yeah, now it's more of just an artificial reason.
Right. And so give us some sort of coping strategies that you've got some ideas on how to get over that. Because that was one of your things. You were in Seattle and you're like, oh, no, you're all the way in LA. And I was like, you got to be shitting me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally, yeah. I definitely use the you're too far. Where it kind of stemmed from was like, oh, I have to like travel and spend money on airplane fare and stuff like that. When I like looked at tickets, I was like, that's really not bad. And I know
like 190.
Yeah. And I know a lot of guys are a lot further than I was. But again, I had to kind of look at myself in the mirror and be like, you know, am I just using this as a way to push off, you know, another year where I don't actually change and grow? Am I using this, you know, what's going on here? Is this an excuse or is this an actual legitimate reason? And when I, you know, took a look at everything, it was an excuse. You know, I was just pushing it off so I didn't have to leave my comfort zone. And I was creating an artificial thing. So what guys can do is get creative. You know, first you have to recognize that this is an artificial reason, because when there's a will, there's a way.
Right. As cliche as it is, right?
As cliche as that is, yeah, it's true. I mean, if you really want to do something, you're going to figure it out. You know, if you want to travel the world, you know, how far is that? Like, I love going to islands. Is Bali really that far away? No. It is in my mind, though. So what guys need to do is come to the table and just realize that that's just – it's really not a reason.
Have you been to Bali?
No, I want to though.
Yeah.
We should maybe do that.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
I feel like there's people listening right now who live in Bali.
Hey, if they are listening, I would like to have that connection.
Let's couch surf in Bali.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Bali boot camp. What up? Maybe later.
Oh, maybe later.
One of the most common objections that we get are money issues. And yes, this is we're going to use again the example of the boot camp, but people bring up money issues for everything. I hear this all the time.
Everything.
I don't have money to travel. I don't have money to get a nicer car, and that's why I don't get girls, or I don't have money for rent. I don't have money for this.
Right.
And these same people seem to have like a bunch of crap. And it's like the priorities are off. The management skills are off. A lot of people are living outside their means. But what it really comes down to is a lot of people don't think about where they invest their money. I know you had some thoughts on this.
I do. This is one of my favorite ones because I probably use – I think I hammered this one home before coming
you
here.
You used the shiznit out of that one.
I used the shit
out of
this.
You got a lot of mileage out of
I got
that one.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, it just comes down to where your priorities are, like you said. But really what money should do for you is be an investment for your future and not into things that depreciate, like buying that new flat screen TV that you probably don't need or the new cell phone that just came out that has all these nifty like features like that. Trust me, I definitely want a new phone. Do I really need it? No. Is it going to help me in my future? No. And so that's my main thought on that is that, especially with something like this, or like with traveling, or like getting another job, you know, or starting your own business, I mean, you should use that money to help propel you into your future rather than have it be a monkey on your back like a car payment.
Right. One of the guys we had on the show all the time, Ramit Sethi, teaches from I Will Teach You to Be Rich. One of the things that he said that I love and that he actually mentioned AOC on one of his blogs is the best investment you can make is in yourself. Right.
Absolutely.
Your skill set, experiences. And there's been a lot of studies as well about happiness. And one of the things that they said happy people do, there's a lot of them come down to habits and like things that you value and like where you prioritize things, not surprisingly. Happy people spend their money more on experiences than they do on things. And that goes along with what you were saying is that flat screen is super cool. It's not worth shit after a while. In a few years, it's literally worth less than nothing because now you have to try to get rid of it to get another one that has more bells and whistles.
Yeah.
But if you spent that money on a trip to China, or a
how long
camp,
is that going to last? I mean, that's a memory,
right?
You're
memories,
a memory.
Stories, yeah. And they even said that people who have experiences during the experience was when the happiness point was lower than it was both before for anticipation and afterwards when you're recalling the stories.
Wow.
So like that. So what that means is that if you come with me to say China, the funnest part of the trip to China is going to be before you go to China and after you get back from China.
Right,
so all those
like,
people
so
who are
cool.
like, it's a lot for a week-long thing. During the week, during the program, you're going to be tired. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To use our program as an analogy, you're going to be tired. You're going to be beat. You're going to be having the time of your life and making new friends. But you won't really – that won't really hit you until like – you get home, you'll be like, holy crap, that was epic.
Which is
right?
what we call the halo effect,
right,
which
halo
happens
effect.
To every alumni. But yeah, it's about investing smartly in things that will bring you happiness and memories. Like I like that study that you just mentioned because that nails it, you know?
Yeah.
Buying that car or that TV or that new phone isn't going to generate a whole lot of, you know, net happiness. It might be a little spike because you're like, oh, this is pretty cool, but that's
right.
going to wear off real quick.
Yeah.
But a trip to China, you know, a trip around the world, whatever.
Any kind of experience.
Any kind of experience, you know.
Anything that can't get blown up by an asteroid
exactly.
or a meteor or whatever,
yeah.
whatever's like
yeah.
hitting the ground these
yeah.
days.
Exactly.
Yeah, that exactly. should be a good rule of thumb. If it can get destroyed by a meteor, don't invest in
don't
it.
Invest in it. Right. Right, but if it is going to bring like a really cool, memorable experience and
right.
something that you can make a story out of, that is, in my opinion, totally worth it.
And that's why we just booked tickets to Chelyabinsk, Russia.
That's right. That's right. We're going to have a pit stop in Bali, though.
That's right. That's right. Now, going back into some of the other more sort of insidious excuses that people have, one that I find really troubling and – a lot of these guys are almost like kind of lost souls when it comes down to it, is the guy who wants to figure this stuff out for himself.
Yes.
And the reason that this is such a problem is I love figuring stuff out for myself,
right.
but I'm not teaching myself Chinese without any learning materials. I'm not trying to get in shape without a trainer because I've played that game before and I got more results in 1 year with a trainer than I did my whole life just pretending like I'm lifting weights at the gym while watching the basketball game on TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And really what it is your ego going, I'm ashamed in some way to ask for help in this area because I feel like I'm supposed to already know this.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's exactly what it is. That's a subscript, you know? It's the ego wanting – because the ego is pretty sensitive, right? It doesn't want to admit that it needs help. It doesn't want to admit that maybe hiring that personal trainer will improve my results. Going to like, I don't know, yoga or something will actually make me feel mentally better. They
right.
want to like try and figure themselves out. And so like you'll try and go like on YouTube and, you know, try and figure some stuff out. You'll listen to some podcasts, which is great. Nothing wrong with that, but that should help you on your way to actually, you know, investing in self-improvement.
Yeah. And one of the problems is if you don't know, you don't have a game plan, right, to get
right.
to where you want to go. Like, yeah, you want to figure this stuff out for yourself, but what are you going to figure out? How are you going to go about that? That's where these sort of excuses tend
that?
To break down, right? Like,
yeah.
oh, it's the same thing like the income guy I was talking to before. I'm like, great, how are you going to get there? And they go, I'm just going to work really hard. And
right.
I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah,
that doesn't
does
mean
that
anything.
Mean?
That doesn't
mean
anything.
No.
What are you going to do? You're going to read all of the marketing materials from the company that they mail you with your Herbalife stuff or whatever.
Right.
That's what I hear, right? Oh, you know, I'm working really hard. Oh, I'm building my network. What's that mean? Well, you know, you're just calling your family. Like there's not a lot of real action there. There's no game plan. It's just, okay, I'm going to do this. And also you develop craptacular habits when you try
yes.
to learn stuff on your own. You try to learn how to play basketball, any sports, lifting weights. You
right.
try to do anything on your own without training. You develop a lot of bad habits, and you can cut your learning curve down significantly
yeah.
by not doing that.
No, totally. Like if you keep repeating the same thing over and over again, even if it's a bad habit, it's going to get ingrained, and you're just going to keep doing it, and then you're going to get frustrated because you won't see very tangible results. And, you know, it's a big time waster.
Yeah.
You
well,
know?
Anybody who doesn't believe that bad habits are created by doing this, anybody out there who smokes or
oh,
or
yeah.
drinks, when you first had booze, did you like the taste? Don't even try to tell me that you did.
Right.
No, you acquired it.
Yeah.
Why? Because you built the bad habit. If you're smoking, the first time you had a cigarette, you thought, why the hell do people do this? It's disgusting.
Yeah.
But now you smoke a pack a day, you acquired it, you built that bad habit, right?
Yep.
There's you eat junk food, that stuff.
Hey, that tastes great.
It tastes amazing, right? So that's an exception.
Until you start getting that tire right around your belly.
Right, no. I'm playing. But like that stuff, like drinking, like we're loving this beer right now. But when I was 15 years ago and as a teenager, stuff tasted like crap.
My grandfather first introduced me to Budweiser, and I was like 7. I hated it.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Hated it.
My mom used to get mad at my dad because I'd be like, Dad, can I have a sip of your beer? And he used to drink like Busch beer, which
nice.
Probably isn't even around anymore in Michigan or like old Milwaukee. And I would take a sip and I'd be like, bleh, and I would spit it out and I'd be like, yeah. And every time he'd have a beer open up north, I would taste it and I'd be like, this is fucking gross.
This is really gross.
And my mom used to be like, don't let him do that. And he's like, whatever, I don't care. And honestly, retrospect, such a good idea to let me try it because after years later, I was never like, dude, we should totally drink beer. I was like, that stuff tastes like freaking butt.
Yeah.
I don't want this at all. And then once I started drinking like to get totally hammered when I was in Germany, I was like, oh, I guess I can stomach this because then I'll be drunk and it's so much fun, right?
Right.
But I still didn't like beer. I had to acquire it over time, and I had to drink really good beer a lot in Germany to get the taste for that.
Yeah, and you can call that a bad habit. I mean –
yeah. Oh, 100%.
I mean, yeah.
Drinking is definitely a bad
it's
habit.
Not,
there's
it's
no
not,
way around
yeah.
it.
There's no way around that, yeah.
Cheers, by the way.
Yeah, cheers. So, yeah, and so jumping to what somebody can do to develop good habits is to, you know, take a mentorship with somebody that's really, like, say, successful, you know, and mentor their good habits, you know, follow. It's I like to call it modeling, right? You mm-hmm. model for success. You model for good habits, but it takes you – searching for that somebody to get you there. So if you want to be successful getting a new job or whatever, coming to the Art of Charm and improving your social, you know, social circle and social life, you know, you gotta model after people that have good habits.
What's really important there is if you don't have a role model for this, you know, that's one of the things that is such a benefit of being here at AOC. Not only do you get to stay with the coaches and see us do it firsthand, but then when you're in the alumni network, now you're hanging out with other people who all have good habits and can all do this. So you start to model each other, which is even more important.
Yeah.
I really think that one of the strongest elements of the whole AOC, the whole Art of Charm bootcamp process, is the alumni network that you get to be a part of after your program.
Yeah, because there's guys that they're bent on self-improvement and, you know, and they're – most of the time, really successful guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Not to mention, it's pretty cool having a brother to crash with in any corner of the world.
That.
We've had guys, I don't know if I told you this, we had a couple guys come through the program, and then they all packed up their stuff after the program, like a month later, and they all went backpacking through Europe together because they got along so well during their program.
That's awesome.
And then when they were in Europe, they stayed with AOC alumni in every city that they went to, so they didn't pay for any lodging.
Oh,
and
nice.
They hung out and went to clubs and bars with AOC alumni in every city. So they would go to Munich during Oktoberfest where like there's no chance in hell you're going to get like a hotel room for a cheap or a hostel. They stayed with local AOCers and went to Oktoberfest and went to like the locals' events and like locals' parties and crashed at people's houses, which was badass, obviously. And they went to like Utrecht in like the Netherlands, so they didn't end up in like some tourist trap club bar scene.
Right.
They went to like college clubs and they stayed in a college dorm.
Right.
And they had like a ball in time. And,
yeah.
You know,
they had brothers to go out and do this stuff.
Yeah.
With,
so it's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Like you can't then you don't have the excuse because now you're sitting there with a bunch of guys who are like, hey, let's go do this, and they're not, and you're learning from each other. The skill set's rubbing off, so it's super cool. I'm getting kind of excited just talking about it, and I'm excited for when we do Brazil World Cup.
That's gonna be
epic.
Which is through basically an AOC alumni network.
Yeah,
that's
dude in Brazil,
arranging
everything is probably gonna be like freaking 20 of us down there,
right?
Going crazy,
going nuts,
going absolutely freaking crazy. Plus, of course, Rick's annual birthday bash in Vegas.
I'm going to be there.
Yes.
Definitely going to be
awesome
there.
Awesome sauce.
Pop that Vegas cherry.
Pop the Vegas cherry. I can't believe you've never been there.
Yeah.
I love this. There's so many more excuses that we listed, but I think we should kind of close it for now because we're at like a good wrapping point here.
Okay.
And a lot of the rest is like program specific. But I think the key here is if anything that we've said resonates a little bit with you, like you're going, oh, I kind of do that, don't miss the opportunity to stare yourself down in the mirror, because it's really easy to go, yeah, but maybe my situation's different. No, mine's really unique. Or oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, they're kind of right on that. I don't want to think about this. Turn the channel. Turn the radio on. Listen to some music.
Right.
Put this down. Or, oh, I didn't really like that episode, .. whatever. It's really easy to do that because we strike a little bit of a nerve here.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of – I like to look at it this way. We're holding you accountable, you know, to do something that you want to do. You know, if it's an AOC bootcamp, awesome. But if you want to get a new job or travel around the world, like – look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself why you're not doing it. And then after that, start asking yourself good, powerful questions. How can I make that happen?
How did you eventually get off your ass and get down here?
By looking at myself in the mirror.
Yeah.
And actually, okay, it was a couple of events that happened. But basically, I was dating this really, really hot girl that was awesome. And we vibed really well. And things were going great. And then, long story short, she broke up with me. And at this point, I kind of recognized a dating pattern. I was like, this is it. I am done. I've had it. I had the fuck it moment. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
the
totally.
Fuck it moment. I'm going to go fucking do this. Pardon my French. And that was it for me. I was like, you know what? I'm not getting any younger. And I'm tired of this bullshit that I keep running into. So, yeah, that was why I came down here. I had that moment where I was just like, I'm done and shit needs to change.
And you've regretted it ever since. Oh wait, just kidding. Now you work here. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks so much, Justin. I'm appreciated.
Man.
Hopefully this gets guys kind of, I think it helps to have someone call out your crap and be like, no, I know you think that, but so does everyone else. And you're not special. And also you're full of shit.
It helps to have people that will actually hold you accountable so that you can do and reach those goals that you set out to do to begin with.
Yeah. And if you need a further reality check, give us a call here at the Art of Charm. Yeah. And trust me, anything you throw at us, we'll call you out on your crap. That's what we do. All right.
All right. Show feedback and guest suggestions. We rely on you guys to help keep our finger on the pulse. So if you know someone who's a good fit for the show, let us know at JordanH@theartofcharm.com. Bootcamp details for our live programs also at theartofcharm.com, and that's where you're going to find links to us on Twitter, Facebook, and other social media as well. If you're listening to this but you're not subscribed in iTunes or Stitcher or something like that, then that needs to change. Getting our shows delivered free to your phone or computer is the best way to make sure you don't miss a thing. You can do that by going to iTunes and searching for The Art of Charm Podcast, or by going to theartofcharm.com/iTunes and clicking subscribe. That's really it. And you guys can help us. Subscribe in iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Write something nice and we will love you forever. Just go to iTunes.com/TheArtOfCharm and it'll take you right there. When you write us a review, it not only makes us feel proud, but it helps keep us up in the ranks so that other people who can use this information can find the show more easily to get the credible advice that they need. It's also the best way to support the show other than purchasing products and training from us. So tell your friends, because the greatest compliment you can give us is a referral to someone else, either in person or shared on the web. Now have a great week, go out there and get social, and leave everything better than you found it.